Welcome back to another episode of Plugged Into. I'm your host, Kimmy Dixon, the founder of Hypertribe, of which this is a production of. So this week on episode 2, we'll be talking to Wisdom, who is the managing director of Talyard Impact, and they are all about helping young people into the music industry. So we'll be exploring some tips and tricks about how you can improve your artist development. But we have to apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we had during this recording. At the time of recording, we did hit COVID-19, and so there were a few interruptions. We're just testing out some of the technology to help us conduct some of our interviews remotely. So please bear with us, but I'm sure you'll get the information that you need. As ever, feel free to contact me. Let me know how you found the episode. My email is Kimmy, K-I-M-M-Y, at hypertribe.io. All right, let's do it. Hi, Wisdom. Welcome to the show. Can you tell me just a little bit about what you do and everything, you know, that you're up to at the moment?
So I am the head of Talyard Impact. We are the community engagement arm, if you like, of Talyard London. So we work in the community. We try and be an access point for young people and those who have got an interest in the creative arts or creative industries and getting into the industry.
Awesome. And we met a few years ago, and there was a lot of conversations that we were having around building artists as entrepreneurs and artist development. Can you tell me a little bit about all the stuff that's been going on, especially with Talyard Impact, and how everything's really evolved over the last few years?
So basically, we noticed an issue, I think, is the best way to kind of start. We noticed that there was an issue with getting young people into the creative industries, regardless of what level of creative training that they had been involved in. So if they'd been to school, if they'd been to college, if they'd been to university, and they'd studied something around the creative industries, but didn't have any relationships, it almost didn't matter what qualifications that they got, because they didn't have real world experience. And how did you get real world experience? You couldn't get real world experience unless you'd done it in the real world. And no one was going to trust you to do it in the real world unless you'd already done it. So you ended up this cycle of really, really talented people who had many skills but didn't have any ways in. And I've been involved in a few projects and became really, really aware that unless there was someone consistently in the inside of the industry trying to develop that talent and help it cross the threshold and build those kind of relationships, those skills would be lost and those young people wouldn't be able to enter the industry. So Talyard was the place, basically. I describe it as the factory floor of the music and the creative industries. And I think that this is kind of the place where I felt I really needed to be so that we could make that difference and be a reliable doorway that both the industry respected and the young people in the local community felt like they could engage with.
Okay, so give us an example of the typical person that would come through the program. So someone, give us an idea of their background and, you know, what stage are they at when they come through the program, and then as they go through, what are they expecting and the outcome as well?
So typically, we are looking at those who are between the ages of 16 and 25, have an interest within the creative industries, but don't necessarily have the access to it. So we started by building relationships in our local community in Islington and Camden, working with local youth groups, working with schools, colleges, third sector organizations, and we invited them to be involved in our work experience programs. And when we would do we would do telephone interviews, and it became quite apparent really quickly those who had a real passion for the creative industries and maybe hadn't even necessarily seen it as a career path. I remember specifically there was one girl, we were doing a fashion content work experience, and she was a local school called Elizabeth Garrett Anderson, and had a real interest in fashion and styling, but didn't know that some of the things that she was already doing were really great examples of that. So and when I'd asked her, oh, okay, well, what's your interest? And I was like, well, I don't really know, but, you know, my sister got married and I kind of helped them pick all the dresses and made sure that everybody fit right. And then when the photography came back from the wedding, it didn't quite look right. So I edited a couple of pictures and stuff. And I was like, you do realize that what you're just describing is you styled a wedding and then you edited all the pictures because the photographer wasn't very good. And I was like, oh, okay. Are you aware that those are two individual career paths? So some of it has been educating people who don't actually know about the creative industries. So, and the other end of that is we're currently doing a program at a Prince's Trust. And one of the girls has been trying to get into the industry now for about the last 10 years. She's 30 and didn't have any contacts. And although she'd done a bit of recording, it never seemed to move to anything. And in the time that she's been on the recent course that we've been delivering, she's had access to companies like Spitfire Audio, who are based at Tile Yard, and they create samples of strings and orchestras to be used in digital production, which she didn't even realize that a lot of her passions centered around what they were doing. So she's hopefully going to have her placement there. So it means that we're in a position where we can connect people in a way that's really difficult to do out elsewhere, because we have access to so many different businesses. Our hope is to kind of, I suppose, flip nepotism on its head, because the issue is usually one of trust. We don't know you, so we don't trust you. Doesn't matter if you're good. We know the daughter of the head of marketing because we know them. But until there is a process for us to see you have the right attitude, the right networks, and the right experience, it's hard for us to trust that you have the skills to work. And we're able to kind of get around that by providing, you know, access to the environment, developing some experience, and then helping people build their networks.
Okay, awesome. So this is all about building soft skills and entrepreneurial skills as well. And the program obviously focuses across the industry. It's not purely centered around artist development.
No.
But let's take it back a little bit to the actual people that come through that are really looking to develop as artists.
Okay, sure.
Is there a synergy that crosses over between those who generally want to be involved across the industry and then also on top of it, those that want to specialize in becoming a musician?
I know very, very few people working in the creative industries who didn't want to be an artist at some stage. And I tend to find that that's the entry point. What happened to a lot of people, happened to me, was I started off as an artist. And whilst being an artist, there were certain things I learned that I had to do. I had to keep an eye on the social media. I had to run our recording studio. I had to run our record label. And I found that I developed all of these skills along the way, that since my artistry end of my career came to an end, I then had all of these skills that I wasn't even aware that I had, because I was just trying to get on with what I was doing.
Yeah.
So we know that that's an entry point for the industry. So it's important for us to also support their artistry. So we run a Saturday school that we started in January, where we have vocals, dance, and drama from 11 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Small at the moment, but it's something that we definitely want to increase. And also we are the London hub for something called Mass Records, which is a year-long artist development program that's run around the country, where we take in, I look after the bands and Sappho Music look after the soloists, but we take in acts, we give them 4 hours of rehearsal a week, we give them access to masterclasses, give them two full days in the recording studio, and we give them access to support in writing their own development plans. So with those kind of two programs, we call that impact artistry. Those are our artistic strands. Our aim is to kind of continue to develop them, but also upskill. So while you're learning about your artistry, you get a little bit more of an understanding of how the industry works as well.
We've had many conversations in the past together about artist development and the process of artist development and how that could potentially be rebuilt as if a startup, right? And I just want to refresh on a few of those conversations, because I think it's really important to discuss it and to talk about. Now we've talked about, you know, the skill set that is needed, and then that idea of network and trust and being able to have almost like a guidance or a guardian angel essentially throughout the industry is also so important. But the foundations of being able to enter into the music industry with those skills and say you've got your, you know, your guardian angel, what is it that artists really need from your perspective? Because one thing that really stuck in my head from when we have spoken in the past is this idea of a shelf of skills rather than, you know, being able to rely on different members of the team. I wonder if you can explain just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that the way that the music industry has changed, it used to be very pyramid-based, as in we were all working towards having 60 million records sold, and you moved up on levels almost like Game of Death or Street Fighter. It was you overcame a boss and all of a sudden you became higher up the food chain.
Yeah.
I don't see that it's kind of working that way anymore. What I've seen is this, as I say, more of this shelf example where you have a number of different skills that you then utilize to sell your product. So if I take an artist like Lizzo as an example, Lizzo's sync game, which is when you take a song that you have and you have it put on an advert or TV advertising or in a film, has been incredible. And that was really, I remember that first really coming to the fore with Moby, when I think he had nearly every single song off of one of his albums in an advert or something. And that's a different form of income now rather than just trying to get a number one. So now what we're finding is that, you know, we saw it a lot in the 90s with artists developing a fan base and then being able to sell merchandising to them. I think people like Beyonce have taken that even further, where I believe her highest income annually actually come from the sale of her perfume more so than it has come from touring, because once you've got a fan base that large, you can only sell a CD, like when we sold CDs for about £10. You can sell a perfume that costs maybe £4 to manufacture for 75 quid, and when they run out they'll come back and go and buy another bottle. So it just, there are so many different ways now that you can generate income if you as an artist have enough of an understanding of where you sit within your art form, within your audience, and how you can leverage those things for your benefit.
What is the kind of golden rule that you would really shout out from, you know, the roof and, you know, be able to tell every single artist if you could?
Yes. There are two really important questions I think every artist needs to ask themselves. What do I want? And why do I want it? And I feel like there's a lot of artists that haven't dug into themselves enough to understand what it is to be an artist now. Because as we were discussing before, that goes to your brand. What do you want? What is it you want to achieve out of this? What do you want to achieve for other people? What do you want them to learn? What do you want them to gain by being you? I'll hear an awful lot of artists say things like, oh, you know, I really want to inspire people and I really want to do this. And then you go, so who do you inspire now? Because if you don't inspire anybody now, being famous ain't necessarily going to inspire them.
Exactly. But
what is it that you're going to do about that? What area is that in? You know, because when you think about, there are a couple of artists that they sort of sharpened what they're about to such a degree that you know exactly what you're getting for them at every point. So if I take Dua Lipa, Dua Lipa, boyfriends and breakups. That's it. Every song that she's had, boyfriend, breakups. That's it. That simple. It's not about getting out of the hood. It ain't about making family rich. It ain't about that. Boyfriends, breakups. That's it. And she can make different songs around those areas, which lots of people can engage with, lots of people come about. So once you've asked, you know, what do you want? The then question becomes why? Why do you want this? You know, be honest with yourself.
It's values, right?
Yeah, it's your values. Be honest about those values. You know, if you just want everyone to tell you that you are gorgeous, cool. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go and talk to do it. You know, if you want to be mega, mega wealthy, you might be better off being a songwriter than being an artist. Because some songwriters are making a heck of a lot more money with a lot less hassle in their lives than artists.
I'm right.
It makes sense that you really need to have those two questions. If nothing else, what do you want? Why do you want it? I think that those are crucial things. It's because it's not that you were born to do. No one was born to sing. You know, you may have an ability, but, you know, that doesn't make you an artist. An artist has defined who they are, what they are. They are a product to be sold to an audience. If you don't know what your product is, you can't sell it to an audience. So those things are crucially important.
Okay, awesome. Well, if everybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
So the best way is through our Instagram, which is Tile Yard Impact, or you can email us at info@tileyardimpact.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thanks, Wisdom. Thanks so much. And yeah, thanks for talking to us.
Cool. No problem for myself and my daughter. Thanks for the call.
Massive thanks to Wisdom down at Tile Yard Impact, and thanks guys for listening to Plugged Into. Next week we'll be back with Kinoa, who's an artist in London who's absolutely killing it on Spotify, so find out how she's managed to do that. From all the team here at Hypertribe and Plugged Into, we just want to say a massive thank you and see you next week. Take care.